The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Right, you're both there. Peter's up there. Steve there. Steve, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
What are you doing, Steve? Where are you? You're outside.
Just turning my fan off.
Your fan?
Yeah. I just discovered an amazing thing today that if you put a fan in front of your washing, it dries really quickly.
Wow. Wow, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. If you put a fan in front of your washing... Steve, let me just suggest something to you. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think that's why people hang their washing outside.
Mm-hmm. Well,
a bit of wind.
Today, obviously... has been a bit wet, so I couldn't do that. So I thought I'd try the fake wind option and put a fan in front of it, and it works surprisingly well.
Right. Do you know what? Saying that, I'm looking at the window. I've actually put the heater on in my office. It's like winter, isn't it? What is going on?
Yeah, it's a little bit autumnal, isn't it?
People say there's no climate change going on. Have you seen our weather? We've had a heat wave. It's gone. I was in Mexico. It was warmer in the UK than in Mexico for 2 or 3 days. And then it's gone. Like, last year, we had the hottest year ever. Then the beats from the east. Then it's, people say there's no... In fact, Trump, didn't he? He said, guys, what's happened to global warming when he had that massive winter storms in America, in the Midwest? And he didn't understand that, it's not just global warming, God, Donald. It's climate change. You get both extremes.
Yes, it's climate, not weather. Yeah, but that's his...
And this is why... this is why I'm, invested in cultured meat. In Trump, yeah. God, I tell you what. He blinked, didn't he? Trump blinked. He flinched. He backed down. Have you seen what's happened? Steve, tell us what happened, fella. By the way, this is the Weekend Podcast. If you just tuned in, I've just started recording. We're supposed to record at 6 p.m. on a Friday. Well, I sat down. I came to my office. It's a long walk to my office, Steve. In this weather, it's a very long walk, right? I sat down, set my computer up, got the thing recording. I Skyped you. You weren't answering. Pete wasn't answering. Then Steve says, can we delay it, please? TV internet emergency around my sister's.
Yeah.
And you're delivered.
She just bought a new TV and everything had stopped working. So, and that's quite a thing on a Friday night for nothing to be working for the kids. So
read a book. Get the kids to read a book. Do you know they'd be better off for it? I said, Steve, you have 2 hours. 2 hours? What, to reboot a router or something? That's all you've been doing. It's switching off, switching back on again.
it was kind of the whole setup of the TV, really, which they started pulling cables out and,
What do you mean, the plug cable? That's it. What else? Steve, are they like you? You've encouraged them to plug too many things in, have you?
Basically, I'm the AV expert, so they called me around. And I lost track of time that it was that late in the afternoon, so...
What? How long were you there for?
Well, to be fair, I'd only just arrived when you called, so I was like, oh, that's bad timing.
Okay, all right. I don't know if I forgot what I was talking about now. Anyway, what were we talking about?
Trump and Chinese tariffs.
Oh, the Weekend Podcast, yes, and Trump and Chinese tariffs, yeah. But Trump was acting the big boy on Twitter, bullying everyone on Big Boy, and all of a sudden now he said, we're going to delay our tariffs. Wasn't he? He kept saying that, it's affecting the Chinese economy, the Chinese are in trouble, that everyone's leaving China to get jobs elsewhere. Oh, they're suffering big time, tariffs. Tariffs are hitting them big time. Yeah, big, fantastic. And all of a sudden, right, we're going to delay our tariffs. Why, Trump? It's killing them. They're on their knees. They're just about to collapse and admit defeat. But no, he stepped back. Stepped back from the brink. And of course, so the markets have been a bit volatile this week because last week he was saying that he's going to up the tariffs and all that. And they came back threatening him. But what do you think? He's back down, isn't he?
Well, I haven't been following it too closely.
Peter, are you eating?
No.
Oh, okay.
I ended that one.
Peter, are you eating?
I think that was me scratching my leg, sorry.
All right.
Oh, hang on, boys. Are you not scratching Pete's leg? Because I discovered today that you two are off on holidays together. I say. It takes a long time doing the podcast, chatting about each other's hobbies, but it takes a long time to finally warm to each other. And, you bit the bullet. So who broke it to each other? Steve, do you fancy going on holidays?
No. It wasn't like that. It was, should we try and get away from Justin? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Should we ring something about him?
So I said, we're going on holidays. And then, you know, Steve texts back, France. Then Pete said, Italy. Steve, yeah. How do you not know where you're going?
No, we are going to France.
Oh, you are going to France.
And we haven't organised it. So we're just tagging along.
The Vox Markets podcast.
I just heard jingle go off. I thought so, because you two could not organise your pants and socks drawer.
Yeah, we could. We could organise if we could be bothered.
You can't organise your pants and socks drawer at all. You're terrible.
Nah, my tactic is always to get other people involved in holidays, and they get it organised, and then you just go along, and you just pay the money and rock up. It's good fun. That's what we're doing.
Okay. Yeah. Are you going skiing or swimming?
Skiing? Well, yeah, that well-known summer sport.
Where are you going? Where are you going?
We are going to France. We are going to French France, down there in, like, Biarritz. Guys from, you know, Cardiff, all that little crowd. We've been before on holiday. Little crowd, go and hire a villa. Sit around the pool, that kind of stuff.
So anyway, let's talk about stocks and shares. More interesting. Last time you went there, you with a couple of the girls went topless. I was quite interested in that because you know that's unusual, isn't it?
Yeah, they all do it. Yeah. What's unusual?
We did it as well, didn't we?
Yep.
Steve raised the bar. He said, I'm going bottomless. Have you been topless? I'm bottomless. Just came out one day, completely naked. Oh, ladies.
To be stupid, I kept my T-shirt on.
Oh, yeah. Just bump the waist down.
I am surprised he's been invited back, but there we are.
Yeah. Steve's just started wearing their bikini tops and nothing on the bottom. So I couldn't find the bottoms. I don't know where they are. Right. So the markets have been a bit volatile, haven't they? Hey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They rolled and rat.
Yay. just to finish on the Trump conversation, the one thing I did hear about and take a bit of notice was Trump's brilliant description of the trade deal him and Boris are working up. It's going to be fantastic and big.
He's simple, isn't he? Oh, nasty. Working on a trade deal with the UK. It's going to be great. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fantastic and big. And big. How big can it be? It's like fantastic and big. I like that.
It's such like basic language.
He does resort to the language of a 5-year-old. Yeah. Fantastic and big. How was the park? It was fantastic and big.
It was good.
Fantastic anyway, and big. Sorry. It's gonna be big, and it's gonna be fantastic. It's gonna be fantastic and big.
You know what? It does give me a little bit of hope because we've just got idiots in charge, and we've just got to accept that, I guess. But if the two idiots can talk to each other and, you know, knock out a deal by November the 1st, you kind of go, well, that's actually a good start then, isn't it? Like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah, do you know what? To a certain extent, I think we need someone who polarises people. You need someone. If you get a reaction from someone, it's always good. If you don't get a reaction, you put something out there and don't get a reaction, either way, it's bad. So Trump gets a lot of reaction, you know? And in America, he polarises, you know, you've got people marching against, whether you support or not. So, you know, half America love him, the other half hate him. Trump is the other half that hate him. Don't support the same character. They all support different people. So they're not going to beat him because, you know, the half that follow him all support him. The half against him don't all support, you know, one person. So you've got to have this kind of polarisation. And I think Boris will be similar. I think he'll get things done because people behind him will support him strongly. And that bunch of people will be a bigger group than the haters because they're all support. They're divided, divisive, you know? So, I don't know. Do you know what's odd? So the stock market went down this week. Everyone's worrying, is there a recession on the way? The yield curve, everyone talks about the inverted yield curve. Now, the yield curve has inverted more times than there's been recessions, but it's also predicted every recession. You know, people said it more times. Do you know what? I just noticed on my Twitter feed, I tweeted out that the futures, the market's been nuts this week. So the futures, I think it was, what was it, yesterday? Yeah, the futures. So in the morning, they were opening up in America, 400 points down, the Dow was, right? The futures, before the market opened. And then something came out from China that was saying it was quite good, it was quite positive. And they went back up. They went positive. But I realised I tweeted out this article within about 15 minutes of each other. They changed. But the picture's the same. So I just tweeted it on CNBC. The picture's exactly the same, right? So the first one says, stock sell-off. set to continue with Dow futures posting a 200-point loss at open. Then about 15 minutes later, exactly the same picture, but the text that came with it was Dow futures turn higher, now up more than 80 points as Walmart shares jump. So the first one, I got no likes, no retweets for the negative one. For the second one, 3 likes, 1 retweet. Exactly the same picture, pretty much the same text, apart from the same length. Isn't that odd? Are people I'll text out, you know, stuff that's factual about negative and positive. People always will share the positive. People want confirmation bias, don't they? It doesn't matter if it's inaccurate. If you tweet out something that's positive, people will retweet it. People hate to see the market sell off. Now, there's no point worrying about it. We're not going to have a recession right now. You know, this is the most signaled recession in history, pretty much. It's not going to happen when you expect it. That's the whole thing about recessions. I remember us talking when we had a radio show at XFM in South Wales, asking, I think it was you, Steve, to say what the credit crunch was. This word credit crunch was bandied about. This is before the market crash. And you on the show, I remember, came up with a definition of what the credit crunch was. So everyone knew what it was before it happened. And then people just talked about this credit crunch, or you can't get credits. And then all of a sudden, but you know, 6 months after we learned about the credit crunch, the markets just went into spiral, downturn, you know? So a sell-off or a recession doesn't happen when you think it's going to happen. And right now they're saying the inversion of the 2- and 10-year bond yield happens on average for 18 months after that happens. So we're talking about the back end of next year it's going to happen, you know? Now, guys, it's all odd, isn't it? Because I've been jumping into gold, you know, way too fast, because gold's at a high. I'm insane doing this. I know full well what will happen. We'll have a rally in the equities in the meantime. Gold will cool off. And I'll sell my gold because it's going down. And then when I need to be in gold, it'll start rallying again. I won't be in it. And I'll think, oh, it's gone high again. It's the old thing, isn't it? Buy low, sell high. It's like, it's the easiest thing in the world to do. Or is it? It's not, though, is it? It's really tricky because, obviously, whenever it's talking about gold, you want to buy it. And that's why I think I a little discussion on Twitter today saying, the big saying is fear and greed. The market is run by fear and greed. I don't think it is. I think it's fear and fear of missing out. And yes, I think the fear is the massive driver. Because, first of all, when the stocks fall, everyone starts selling. It's like that saying, why is the market falling? Because people are selling. Why are people selling? Because the market's falling. And that's it. Yeah. It's self-fueling. Yeah. Everyone starts selling. Why? Because everyone's selling. And
the flip side to all of that is buy and hold, isn't it?
Yeah, buy and hold. And I said, you know, when things are hot, it's like my brother often texts me about stocks that are hot on the I think it's the LSC or on Vox that are most followed. And I said, Nick, they're up like, you know, 60% a day or something. And, he only picks up on them when they're really hot. And that's a fear of missing.
Does he buy them then?
Yeah, well, he has now again. But I said, no, it's gone too far, too quickly. Yeah. And I often say, if you look at Vox's most followed list, if it's a company on there, it's been, you know, in that list quite often, and yet it hasn't risen yet, then do some research on it, because it's worth doing, because people are buying it for some reason, but it hasn't risen. But, and that's why it's really hard, the stock market, just buy low, sell high, because we are pack animals, pretty much, and we are, you know, when everyone's saying one thing, we all believe it. You know, when a lot of people, it's hard to be contrarian. Do you ever see that psychological test where they had, they've done it before several times, but they have like 10 people in a room and they tell 9 people, right, listen, you're stooges on this, you're in on this. The professor's going to, you know, hold up a very easy sum or quiz question, and you're going to have a guess, and they get 9 people to guess incorrectly on purpose. And normally, just by peer pressure, the other person, 10 people, will just go with the crowd. Even though they know it's wrong, they just go with it. I thought, what? That can't be right. But it's true, people feel this. So when the crowds are doing everything, you know, they must be right because everyone else is doing it. You know, everyone.
Surely you'd only do that, though, if you didn't really know the answer.
But no, Steve, you'd be surprised at peer pressure. You'd be surprised at what you've done in your life. I mean, you know, look at you now. I mean, you, the way you wear your hair and stuff, dealt with peer pressure, you know, the way you dress, you know. You're a sucker for fashion, haven't you, Steve?
I am, aren't I, yeah.
But that's what fashion's all about, isn't it? You know, I just see people now still growing beards. I think, are you an absolute... I can't swear, but I feel like you are an absolute simpleton. Just because everyone else has grown a beard and wearing a beard, you're a grown man. Have your own mind. Stop growing a beard because everyone else has grown a beard.
Yes, Steve.
And I just look at people, right, who, you know, an intelligent person have just grown a beard because it's trendy to have a beard. And I think, that is just following the herd. You're like a lemming. Mm. You're jumping off the cliff, pretty much. You know, if everyone did the one thing, you're just following them. And that's fashion. And people are always very fashionable. What, you just copies everyone else? Why is that any good? I don't understand that, do you?
Let's test your theory now. Ask us a question. I'll answer, and I'll see if I can influence Steve's answer.
Okay. What's the capital of Portugal?
Lisbon.
Correct.
Yes, that worked.
Anyway. So, no, listen. Now, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen, right? And this is, and you'll forget about this. It's going to happen. Gold is going to roll over. It's going to get weaker. But when it gets weaker, you will not want to buy it. Okay?
Yeah.
You will say, no, I'm not buying gold. It's down at a low. Well, no one's buying gold. That is when you need to accumulate.
What you should have done, though, is buy Cora gold at 15p, like me. Well, like you did, but you got out. Then watch it go down to about 4 or 5p. Go, that's interesting. And then now watch it rallying back up to 9p, and onwards and upwards from here, hopefully. So there we go. That's what you should do.
One day we'll break even, Pete. We'll break
even. Oh, yeah, you're in that as well, Steve. Yeah,
I am at the same value level as you as well.
Yeah, exactly.
But I guarantee you, I made a loss though, but I guarantee you it will probably make it back to thing. We are just seeing now, what this first spike you're seeing is just the start of the rally in gold. Everything is cyclical, everything has a wave form, it'll go up, it'll come back. It'll probably retest the 1300s. That is the time to start accumulating gold and putting away as a long term. And then all of a sudden, when the stock market's selling off like crazy, gold will go through the roof. And then you have a hedge against your losing portfolio. But people won't do that.
What I would say about my portfolio at the moment, and because recently I've had a bit of a clear out of stocks that just were going nowhere, and then dogs I'd bought that I need to be put down. So
you've been in your flat just shooting old dogs, have you?
That's quite a nasty analogy. But anyway, what I'm going to say, with my portfolio now, I'm quite happy with the stocks that are in there, and perhaps with the exception of Jangada Mines, because we're not sure what's going on there. But apart from that, I'm pretty happy to hold all of these stocks now for the next, whatever, year, 2 years, whatever. Between now and then, there'll be probably a very rocky path, and there'll be ups and downs. But I'm happy to weather the storm with these stocks. I don't have lots of stocks in there now that I was like, they could go downwards and never recover. This lot, I think, I feel quite comfortable with.
Yeah.
But, not doing what you're talking about, hedging and trying to, you know, weather the storm and buy and trade effectively cleverly. I just think I'm happy to buy and hold now what I've got. Some will, perhaps they'll all go down a bit over the next 6 months, but then I think they'll all recover in time.
I might
be wrong, but...
Well, do you know what? It's a funny thing. Gold, I think now, I read this book a while back, and to be honest, it got boring towards the end, but it's very fascinating at the start about inflation. And they say that, and the governments say that inflation is around about 2%. That's rubbish. Absolute rubbish. Because they change everything from, you know, they won't include sort of, they include the price increases. They won't include sort of, what's that called? When they make food smaller, but charge you the same price for it. So you have like Toblerone bars or Mars bars or Snickers. If you go back to the 80s, Snickers bars was the size of a small human. Now they're they're the size of your small finger. You know, they got smaller, but they still charge the same price. Or even they put the price a little bit. But so essentially, and there's lots of things that's happening with, you know. And so inflation is a lot bigger than you realise. And it's we say 2%, it's probably 5% easily. And so this weakens your money. All the time, your money becomes worth less and less. So you say, I'll have some gold, some cash. No point. Unless that cash is earning you like 5%, it's devaluing. Now, that's happening all the time. So currencies will devalue over time. Gold will not. If you look at the chart of gold, it's gone up to $1,800 a few years back in 2009, 2010, and it's come back to $1,000 pretty much. And that's when you should be accumulating, because gold will always hold its value, because it's a store of value. It's a certain amount of it, it's a finite amount of that gold. They can only bring up so much, you know, in good times or in bad times, they don't even bother because it's quite expensive to produce. And that's why it always increases in value. So you should always have some gold in your portfolio. I think, you know, I'm going for the ETF route. You can go for gold explorers, gold miners, but they are more volatile. And of course, they may have individual specific issues with that company that means it won't be leveraged to the gold price. But there's a lot of these gold companies are in questionable jurisdictions, you know. But that's why I'm going for ETF. But I mean, I always remember Jim Robinson? Yeah, famous guy.
Neighbours.
Yeah, Jim Robinson, yeah. Was it always a gal, mate? Do you remember your neighbours? Who was that?
Oh, Steve, mate. Been down Cowgirly.
Yeah.
Down Cowgirly, the other gal, mate.
Yeah, Carly, you always have a big gal, mate. Get a bit of gal in your portfolio. Jim, I can't think of his name, mate. He's quite a well-known investor, multi-millionaire.
Bowen?
No, he's always talked about having a bit of gold. And you've got to have gold. Gold, it wasn't. No, it's not. Didn't serve.
Yeah, a lot of gold.
Didn't serve. You did.
Yeah, that's true.
That's been taken off him now, though, Steve. I think. Mm. Jim, gold investor. Let's see what comes up.
Come on, Google.
Jim Rogers. He always says, legendary investor Jim Rogers. Always says, always have some gold. Always have some gold because gold's always going to go up. Monetary policy, every central bank is loosening their monetary policy. Money will go down, gold will always go up. Always have some gold. You don't see it. And so, yeah, and he's right.
Right.
And he's right. I realise why he's so wealthy. It's just every time the gold price in the doldrums, it keeps accumulating. You know, so, and I tweeted this actually this week. I said, when stock markets are high, risk is higher, even though investors are bullish. When stock markets are low, risk is lower, even though investors are bearish. And that's it's all about psychology. One guy said, this week I've been really bad-tempered in work because of the stock market. I said, no, it's all about... Of course it affects your mood. It's all about your mood. That's all it's about. I said, the stock market's all about fear and fear of missing out. It's all about... It's not about actual valuations. There's a good chance one of the stocks you hold now was probably better, you know, fundamentally than it was a month ago. But the stock market isn't reflecting that. It's just everyone's selling. Sell! People are selling. I'll sell some. Everyone else selling. We know. Recession is not going to happen right now, kids. Not going to happen. It's going to happen when you're not expecting it.
It's going to happen next week.
I had this with Bidstack this week, actually. Obviously, I sold a tiny little bit to take a little bit of profit at the moment. And it was just so hard to sell because you always know. I knew it was obviously at a higher point at one point. You're almost sitting there waiting for it to get back to that point before you chip a little bit off. But you've just kind of got to bite the bullet, I guess, isn't it?
But it's about exposure, isn't it? And that's what we always say. And that's what Justin always says. And you've got to make sure you're not overexposed.
Yeah. I probably was a little bit, actually. Now I'm comfortable with my holding.
I don't think about you being comfortable with your holding and it being exposed, Steve.
We've
got back to you wearing just the bikini top again. And it is about that, you know. Sometimes there's a very few times
exposure.
There's very few times, right, that I go big straight away, and unless it's I know an opportunity is there, and I go for it, and I think, oh wow, it happens a couple of times. I did with the bid stack, it's 5 pence pretty much. I went biggish, and I went bigger again a bit further up, but when they did the placing, 12 pence went nuts. But then I obviously deleveraged. I did it with Predator Oil and Gas, in a couple of stocks where they're like, in a small amount of cap, you realize the potential is massive here, and before other people have realized it, you know. But generally, I think you're better off being patient. You know, you're better off just, you know, like I did mention a stock today to you. I'm not going to mention it yet because I haven't done enough research on it. But I mentioned that I've said, right, I put 1% of my portfolio at this company. It doesn't seem a lot. But you know what? One of my biggest failings is rushing in too fast to stocks. And then, hang on, having to scale back a bit. And realizing that, you know, when you see, you buy in, you do some research, get enthused about it, then you see it rising, you just buy some more. And then, it's going to get away from me. And, you know, the amount of times you do that, you think, no, listen, there's always sell-offs. There's always pullbacks. There's always times to accumulate more, you know. So patience is a thing, isn't it? You know, we're going to be here for a while, you know, I think. Steve, what stocks do you hold now? Do you hold Nuformix?
No.
Okay. Do you hold Polarian?
Yes.
You had a dabble there, have you?
I didn't put much in there, though, because I kind of put a little bit in, and then it obviously flew up, so I was kind of waiting for it to pull back a bit.
Well, it's an interesting story there. I've no doubt that my father says Polarian. He's got some as well. He's done his own research. Polarian. I says Polarian, Dad. Same thing, isn't it? I said, it's not the thing, really, because it's Polarian. Polarian.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And then...
either way, it's Pollux.
Yeah, Pollux is the ticker. But listen, this is a, I think it's hugely cheap for a company on the edge of phase three pass, pretty much. And we don't know if it's going to pass. Of course, there's always risk associated with this, but like I said, this is different from any other phase three trial I've seen. It's a machine against machine. It's not testing a drug on a human. And like I said, you can test one drug on 10 humans and they can all react differently. This is completely different. It's just a machine being compared to a different machine, which we know the other machine is 40 years old. The tech is like radioactive. And it's not very good. So I think it's going to pass. And already people are using it anyway in research purposes. And there's 43 clinical trials going on with their kit by different versions of it, so by different hospitals. So it's doing well. But I just think what's interesting dynamic here is that, you know, their biggest shareholder is in trouble, and that they've got this loan out they've got to pay by the end of September, and yet phase three enrollment will be finished by the end of September, so that coincides. So what's going to happen here? And they said, you know, Amphion, or AMP is the ticker, said, we don't want to sell more shares than we have to, because they're expecting, you know, a positive result. The shares will go up. They have to sell less shares then, because they've got to pay off, $2.9 million, pretty much, in the share. And they own about 16% of Plarium. So they know it's going to be a pass, but they don't want to sell shares now. They obviously want to sell shares on the rise, you know, when they're worth double this. I think Plarium could get close to, it's like 27 million market cap now. I think no doubt it'll be double that after when they pass the phase three because of FDA. Because it'd be a no-brainer. I genuinely think it's one of the, even though it's like 30 million, I say it's a no-brainer double. But there's always that risk that it may have some trip up the phase three and all that stuff. You never know. But
with those, and I think we've talked about this before, when we've got, you know, the bigger macro picture, be it Brexit, be it whatever, recession, when you're in resource stocks and things like that, yes, they will have there'll be a knock-on effect there. When you're looking at a stock like this or a tech stock, sentiment and everything, overall market sentiment will have an impact on stuff like this. But I look at this as, it's not recession-proof, but like if the phase three results come through as we're hoping and as expecting, even though the world is going to hell in a handcart and all the rest of it, yada yada yada, tariffs and all the rest of it, that shouldn't really impact a potential rise on a stock like this, should it?
Exactly. Someone said to me on Twitter twice, I spell out this person on my YouTube channel.
That was me, sorry.
So did I mention I got a YouTube channel? This guy said, well, I think Brexit, that one getting player now is Brexit. I said, first of all, you don't know what level these people have researched. I said, no, this is healthcare, you know, this is health tech. I said, and it's basically based in the US. They're listed over here, but based in the US. And then he said again about a week later, when I come again, I said, no, I don't think you understand. I don't see how Brexit will affect, you know, US healthcare. I don't think it's be affected that much. Of course, Brexit will be a bit of a worry. I think the worry about Brexit is bigger than the actual Brexit. That's the problem. The uncertainty.
The pound going through the floor. But that makes exports more attractive. So
exactly. They'd be selling that in dollars. It'd be better it'd be better for Plarium. And because, let's be honest, already the American market spend $150 billion on lung, you know, sort of treatment alone. So, all they need to hit is I think 11,000 MRI scanners in the US, and they can get very profitable on just off 100. And so, I don't think it'll have much impact, you know. So, this one. And someone today said on Twitter, contacted me and DM'd me. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'm having a hard time in the markets. Hard time in the markets, having, you know. I'm just putting that accent on. I don't know where they're from.
Mm. But was it Steve?
And I said, Steve, we'll talk on the podcast. I said, listen, here we go. Look at companies around about 20 million market cap or less, okay? Look at companies that don't need to raise money. Look at companies that are going to be cash flow positive in the next 12 months, so they don't need cash for 12 months or something, and they don't need cash flow positive. And also, look at companies where CEOs have a big chunk of skin in the game. Put those couple of filters on, and you'll avoid the rubbish.
Yeah.
And you'll avoid high volatile companies as well. And he said, okay, I'm looking at getting into this company, I'm not going to mention the company, looking at getting into this company. And I said, listen, in my opinion, I think at the moment, it's not a good time to be involved in oil and gas and resource explorers. They need to go back to the market. It's very hard work. So, you know, sentiment is low. They're in a downtrend. Global growth, ignore the rally we're going to have in the next couple of days because we've had a big sell-off. I think global growth is slowing down. We're heading towards recession with the end of the cycle. That is a bad environment for growth stocks in resource and oil and gas companies. You know, downtrend, really are. I said there will be a time where it's jumped back in those, but it'll probably not be 3 years from now or 2 years from now. Yeah, or 18 months from now. I don't know.
What are you doing, Steve? There we go, calming down. It's pick your battles, isn't it, really?
Yeah, what are you doing, Steve?
Just put my laptop in its bag.
You packed up for the night, you're off now, are you?
No, I just shut my laptop down, so.
What are you doing then? Why? Was it bothering you?
Just boring.
Well, no, I just didn't need it, so I just turned it off. Go on, carry on, Pete.
Okay. I think it's sort of picking your battles, isn't it? So you kind of go, why would you go into something like that, the high risk, and with all the bigger macro things that can impact a stock like that, like a resource stock, now, compared to something like Polarian or Nformix or any of these ones
we're already generating revenue, we'll not go back to the market or the,
Have cash and all of that. So I don't quite see
why. Also that the cycle is long for an explorer. An explorer is really at the start of the story, and so you're exploring there, you have to raise money, you're not earning any revenue at all, you're exploring, you're drilling, or looking for the, it's a long cycle until you're going to start earning revenue. They have to go back to the market, depending where they are, at least once, twice, three times, four times. How long are you prepared for them to carry on raising money for in this environment? It's going to be hard work. It's like, when are you going to start generating cash? And I understand you can get some, massive little sort of movements. But they're temporary. They're boom and bust at the moment. They'll rise quickly and come back down quickly. So you're going to be in and out. I don't want that. I just want to invest in business. It'll be better, quite smoothly. It'll obviously be volatile, but it'll be because the market caps are small. But I want it to sort of, gradually improve for the next 5 years to the point where they're, next couple of years, actually, will be generating cash, we'll have to go back to the market. So, that's why I flipped from resource stocks back in September, pretty much. And I'm sort of glad I did. But
but then of the resource stocks I hold, I'm just, like I said earlier, I'm happy with them, and over the long term I'm all right to just sit and hold them. I don't think, only about three or four, but I'm all right with them. And like Cora Gold, that's a good one to be in now, maybe.
Cora, it'll come back now. It'll come back for a couple of weeks. It'll come back.
Are you still in Europa Metals, Pete?
No, Steve, I sold that out a while ago.
Did you? Okay, I'm unsure. Oh, Paddy's still in, isn't it, Paddy?
No, he's out of there as well. I think it's only you in the whole world.
It's had quite a few recent massive inclines. It just keeps going up and up at the moment. Although it still doesn't have a massive effect on the portfolio. It's still so low.
I sold out of that when, at a profit, I have to say, because I didn't sort of see the. There was a little bit of a delay, wasn't there? And a bit of a.
Well, do you remember that there was a big rally, and I sold out, doubled my money. I literally had a day where it was like 25%, something ridiculous, and I was close to. I had about 90. I think it was about 91, 2% up. I just sold out. And then I sold the majority, actually. I did keep a little bit in because I had a big chunk in there. Again, it was that time where the market cap was so small and I felt they were generating value there by going through the scoping study. And the scoping study came out with no figures in it. I thought, uh-oh.
That was it, yeah.
And I just got out then. And I thought, no, that wasn't. That didn't go to plan.
And I held on for a little bit longer and it was starting to go down and down. I was starting to see profit disappear and I thought, I'll get out. So I got out then. And Steve, I think you just said no. I'm gonna stay.
The difference was you both de-risked, whereas I didn't de-risk because I didn't hit my 100% mark. And I was just stupid. I was just So whereas you weren't actually, I'd be selling out at a massive loss, whereas you were just losing profit, weren't you? So.
I mean, if you get a massive liquidity event like that and you're close to 100%, and in fact, we don't need to do that anymore. It's like. You have to do that. That's another thing. Resource stocks are very volatile, and they get that a lot of times when you need money. What happens is they have good news, the share price will rise, and then they use that to raise money. So diluting at a discount. So it's really boom and bust sort of nature to these stocks. Mm. That's what I don't like. What I want is companies that don't go back to the market, don't have to release very bullish RNSs to get some a funding away. I don't want that. If you're a trader, I'm not. I'm an investor. I'm a clean, wholesome, nice, transparent investor, not a dirty trader who will sell you their shares on the ramps they tweet out. I'm an investor. So join me in this journey. I will not sell you shares, but you can buy shares of the company. Traders will say, look at this, it's going to go through the roof. And then it'll rise, they'll sell you their shares, and they'll jump out. You know, that's not what you want, is it, really?
I enjoyed your video this week and your little rant against your bulletin board friends.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that was good. Worth watching.
People just think, people thought I was almost... I took some profit on Bidstack because I was massively overexposed to them, you know? And I saw the momentum slow down around about the 40 pence, hit back, came back, and I thought, okay, I look at the chart, the momentum came back, and I started selling between 40 and 34 pence. And I had a massive chunk in there. I was way over 50% of my portfolio was now in Bidstack, you know? Because I genuinely don't... go over 10%, but I went about 20-odd% in Bidstack before the massive rise happened. And so by the time I got up there, and I'd also averaged up as well, I was like over 50%. I thought, like, listen, I can't. My first lesson on my video series, 10 lessons I've learned myself, is about risk and exposure. I'm breaking rule number one. I thought, I can't do that. What am I doing? What do I think? I put this lesson out, this lesson I've learned. I obviously have learned it. So I had to sort of scale back. Now, you know, not to say I don't have a nice chunk in there still, of course, but I'm around about 6% of my portfolio now, and I bet that whinger on the bulletin boards that I used. So a guy came on Twitter and said, it had a nice rise of the day, Bidstack, and off the back of that excellent RNS, I thought, about the DSP, which is significant news, absolutely. That's massive news. That is the news we're all looking for. You know, that was one of the big bits of news we're looking for. But the guy just came out, yeah, I'm glad you sold some, now it's have a rise. Just said that, come out nowhere on Twitter and said that to me. I said, what? What are you talking about? You? Why are you so bitter? Why?
Still, but you still sold above what it rose up to, though, so...
Yeah, but I feel like, so, I guarantee me, I probably have still more shares than you do. But, I mean, first of all, I don't want anyone to lose money on shares. You know, I believe... I talked about Bidstack non-stop every day, every week on the podcast, from the weekend podcast, every week on my videos. I've really, I think highly of the company. I still think it's the most exciting stock, tech stock around, pretty much. But that's what I was doing, is managing my portfolio, my risk. That's nothing to do with how I feel about the company. I mean, I'm not going to be headstrong, deluded, and brainwashing. This is going to the moon, I don't care. I'm going to put all my money into it and mortgage my house. No, listen, that's how you burn your portfolio, burn your account and lose all your money. How you earn money is by managing risk, and you take some profit, but you're still in it. So I don't want to see, I said several reasons, I don't want to see share price go down, so I don't want to see other people suffering, but also I've got some stock in there as well. So I don't, the guy can say, yeah, you sold some stock and glad it's gone up. What is wrong? Mate, you will never make money. If you're that emotional about it, you will never make money. And I just think, and it's called shares. You have a bit of a share. All enjoy a share of the rises. I mean, I don't understand. And that's why I suppose people are down on shorting so much, because it's almost benefiting from people losing money. I've never shorted a stock, I've shorted an index, but I didn't really much from that. But I never understand a shorting stocks. People say it was a market, but I suppose it makes a market. Yeah, you're a buyer and a seller, but the majority of people are buying into companies and they want the business to improve, and I think that's a good thing. People risk their capital and they want a business to improve, so that's a good thing. I think shorting is a bit of a dark art, isn't it, really, benefiting from the fall in the share price.
Because you're hoping for bad news, aren't you? So
you understand what companies are, a bit of a fraud maybe, I understand that, but if it's a genuine company that's to try and do well and it's risen quickly and people are taking advantage of the down, I've never done it.
People are entitled to do that, aren't they? It's how you view things. But I think with all of it, it's as Steve was with Bidstack, it's about bringing it to a level that you're happy with your holding.
Yeah.
Are you happy with your holding, sir? You're more comfortable with it, and you don't have to then sweat about making more gains, because you've kind of taken this profit and now you're going to ride out wherever the journey takes you.
Yeah. I said to people were annoyed at me, I think, for saying that the big fast move has happened. And I thought, well, hang on, what do you think? Because I think, Bidstack could be, a half a billion pound company. I do think that. But that movement from now until then will be slower than the 12 million. And I said, the move from 12 million to 60 million, and I keep saying this, and it annoys people. People who are overexposed massively to Bidstack get annoyed by this. If you are getting emotional about stocks, you're probably overexposed. That's what I think. It's been you must be comfortable with all stocks, not going to bed worrying if it's going to sell off. If you are at that level, you're overexposed. Full stop. Now, if you genuinely argue with me, unless it's a takeout, of course, but if you genuinely argue with me that you don't think, you know, the rise from 12 million market cap to 60 million will be faster than the rise from 60 million to 300 million, then you're deluded, because it's, you know, bigger companies move more. If you look at, if you go on Vox, for example, the main page of Vox is a little up the top, the markets. Every day I look at that tab, right? It's got the UK 100, UK 250, AIM and all. Now, if you look at the, I'll look at it right now. The FTSE 100 or UK 100, right? The top riser there is Kaz. 4% has gone up. The biggest fall is Fres, down 1.1%. You mentioned the biggest fall on AIM. Let's go to AIM, shall we? Let's have a look at this. They're smaller companies. Biggest riser on AIM is 26%. Biggest faller, 38%. Now, do you understand? They're smaller market caps. They're more volatile. They move faster. And that's it. So the bigger you get, and if you go to, you know, UK 250, look at the biggest riser. It's like, in fact, today is Thomas Cook, but that's almost bust. That's 20%. 20%, but the biggest fall is 5%. You'd never get the biggest fall on AIM in a day, 5%. You'd never get that. It would be double digits, you know. And so I'm saying, you know, the bigger the market cap is, the bigger, it's like a little super tanker and a little dinghy. You can turn dinghy around fast, you know. Super tanker takes ages to turn around. Same kind of thing, you know. The bigger it is, the more. Because it's that value generation to create, you know, for bids now to create, you know, another £60 million worth of value to double would be harder than when they went from 12 million to 24 million, with only 24 million valuation that they double. So it's that kind of thing, you know, but I still think he'll be a nice gainer from here, and it'll be less volatile. It'll creep up and creep up, and, you know, and I think it'll get, genuinely has potential to get to, you know, who knows where it get. I mean, if Microsoft were able to pay, what, $400 million for Massive Inc. in 2006, which wasn't programmatic, and gaming wasn't as big, what are they going to pay for Bidstack? So, you know, it's, of course it's worth that. Easy.
Yeah.
But I think on organic growth, it'll be slower, that's all.
Yeah.
But the potential is big.
One stock that bring the party crashing down, but I did say that I was happy with my portfolio. One that sort of sits there glaring at me.
Is, BT.
It's BT. Yeah, exactly right.
DME.
Man, like, that's like an 8-year low now.
Sorry, have you still got that?
Yeah, have you sold all of yours?
Yeah, I thought. Yeah. I just took it for granted that experiment was gone.
okay, did you actually get out?
164? I didn't even look at that. Yeah, it literally hit 190 odd. I had, you know, grand in this way. It hit 190 odd and I just got out and it gapped down.
That's it. So you've completely out of that.
Yeah, that was a failed experiment, boys. Yeah. I should have said that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But when did you sell? A few weeks ago then?
When it was about 190. No, when was that? No, yeah, about July time. When Bidstack wasn't the only thing I sold. I still hold Bidstack, but I de-risked on many stocks. I held quite a few stocks. I had over 10%. I think I had about three or four companies at 10% of my portfolio, and Bidstack was a lot higher than that. But I sold down everything now until and like I said, the maximum I have.
So you must have been at a 30% loss or something on BT.
Yeah, I don't know, just pointless, wasn't it? But yeah,
did
so
you ever pay back the wife for her?
No, she made a profit. The wife on that, yeah, because I averaged down. I averaged down. It went back up, and then yeah, she made a profit from it. But
one thing I would say is, if you're buying in now, it's paying an almost 10% dividend yield.
Yeah, but I'd suggest that's the reason why it's falling is because the dividend is in question, I think, amongst other things.
And it is actually ex-dividend now anyway, so
that's why it's jumped down. But yeah, but that's right. Why do you know what, even, you know, IUKD, the dividend paying fund, that's a 7.3% now, and that's like 50 stocks. You're averaging across 50 stocks there, so that's quite
safe. I bought some more of that today, actually.
Yeah, that's 7. I mean, that'll come back up. We have a rally next couple of days now, that'll go back up. But I mean, that's like, I mean, I was hoping it'll stay down here till September, you know, this time next month is when we ex-dividend date, and you know, that's when you get to, but it'll probably rally a little bit now, so it'll probably be less than that. But that's a decent dividend for like a, you know, an ETF. That's phenomenal. So I got a big chunk in that, a bit of gold. Anything else? Any other things?
No other things.
Headline of the day. This didn't get a retweet. someone didn't like this. Gay cake row referred to highest European court. And there's a cake of, Bert and Ernie support gay marriage. Do you remember this guy? This has gone on for years, isn't it? Do you remember a while back?
Yeah.
This guy refused to make cake
it.
For them. Or bake it. And they took this baker to court. I think, hang on. It's his business, isn't it? Regardless of what it is, he's allowed to do what he wants in his bakers, isn't he, really? You know?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Well, obviously not. The gay cake has gone to the European High Court.
Right.
I did. What a waste of money that is, isn't it? Just go to another baker. They'll do it for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't the event over by now?
I don't think I'd want his cake after, even if he lost it and you had to bake the cake after. You're not sure what you're going to do to it, are you?
That's a good point, Steve.
Yeah, exactly.
Very good point.
It's that classic thing, sending your dinner back to the chef, isn't it?
Yeah, go on. I'll bake it for you. Give it back then. I'll bake it for you. Oh, no, you're okay, actually. We'll take it down the road.
Yeah. That is a very good point, actually. After all of that, and ultimately, even if they do win their claim, do they want that cake baked by that baker? Probably not.
Yeah. Okay. So, lovely. Yes. Right.
Lovely.
Right. I think it's the end of the podcast. I think.
Lovely.
Looking away into nothing. Yeah.
I'm just looking down my tweets. Is there anything else? Right. That's it. No, that's it. Pretty much. And was there anything else I'll say?
Oh.
Yeah. No, I just wanted. I did say, the guy wishing me ill. Listen. AIM is a very small market. There's a finite amount of liquidity, a lot of cash that goes in, you know. If there are some winners, it helps everyone, isn't it? And that's why I like shares, you know. Winners in the market, people tend to invest more. So then the liquidity goes up. When people start selling, people start pulling their money out. So, you know, if you want to do something, you know, it's always best to share in the... Do you know what?
Share the wealth.
Yeah, share the wealth. That's what happens, isn't it, really? Lovely. Any plans for weekends, boys?
Absolutely nothing.
That's the rugby on Wales, England, isn't it?
Again. Wow, again. How
right, that's it for the podcast. That's it for the podcast. It's not a proper game, though, is it? Friendly?
No,
is it,
exactly.
Really? I was driving back from West Wales and I had it on in the radio. They come on, boys, come on. But it's not really an international, is it? Let's be honest. England, the thing is, I think it's a cracking ploy by the Welsh. This is a cracking ploy. Right. England honestly think now they're there. They're on form. Yeah, speak the Welsh. See, they've hammered us last time.
Our team beat your strongest team.
Exactly. You believe that, do you? Do you believe that? Do you honestly believe it? No. England, see, Steve, England are buoyed by that now, right? And they'll go into the World Cup thinking, again, like the Six Nations, thinking they are the kiddies, don't they? They'll go in there thinking they're like kiddies, and all of a sudden they'll be out of puff after the first half and rolled over the second half. And what happened there? We were very good.
There was a little part of me that was thinking they were doing that, but then if you'd actually watched the game, you kind of think, oh, God, they couldn't even fake that.
Steve, what's wrong with you? Play the game. Be a bit biased, eh? you're too honest, you are.
So, if you'd won the game, would you still think that it was a pointless game?
Yes, I would.
Okay.
Yeah. It doesn't really matter, that, does it?
It doesn't really matter.
It's a friendly, really.
Yeah. Although I was gutted for you didn't make it to number one in the world.
The thing is, when the crunch game was the Six Nations, right? Yeah. When it came down to it, you know, when the cup was at stake, the points were at stake, right? Who actually won it?
Can anyone remember what actually happened?
Yeah, you and Nicky McCracken went to that pub in England somewhere. And I remember the picture, the Instagram picture I had. You unhappy, me and Nicky very happy in that English pub because everyone thought it was a done deal. England got turned over Wales. People on Twitter said, oh, it's the easiest couple of £100 I'll ever make. That's bet on England. And it lost. Everyone just thought it was now, the problem is now, England are trying so hard. Wales didn't have the momentum, really. When the big game, they won. It's like win the World Cup. It's like England, really, isn't it, in cricket? Having to win the World Cup, then having to play, regional stuff, local stuff.
So, local stuff against Australia and not doing very well. What's your prediction for this weekend and the other pointless game we're going to be playing?
My prediction this weekend is we're going to have cloudy, sunny spells, highs of 15.
Perfect.
So I don't know. I don't know what's happened now, actually, because be nice. What time is it? I'm going to watch that anyway.
Past two tomorrow.
Yeah, it'd be interesting if they get, if Wales win then, because it's 1-1 on aggregate. Of course, Wales have won last three games, but there we are. In fact, on aggregate, really, I'd say it's probably about 5-1 because the big game is worth a lot more than those friendlies. I saw it last week. Half the Welsh boys didn't even have their kit. They just turned up then. They didn't have their boots and stuff. They didn't take it seriously. Has anyone got a ball? I haven't brought a ball, have you? No. That kind of thing. They just travelled to Twickenham with their wives just for been shopping in London. That's what it's about.
Right. Yeah. Right. Okay. So tomorrow, home advantage.
Yeah.
With all your kit on.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, then. Steve, was there any TV recommendations? Did you say you watched something recently that was very good? You said so, didn't you?
The news.
Yeah. Yeah, there's this one thing they do on a regular basis. They just, a lady comes on, a man comes on, and they tell you about everything that's happening. It's fantastic. I've never seen that before. No, a couple of slides and pictures in between, a bit of video in between, but essentially they just tell you what's happening. I just got a text from Steve. Sorry, I hung up by accident.
I thought I'd gone quiet.
Well, because he didn't breathe in or scratched his legs. Okay.
He probably just fell on the close button. And then, whoops.
Well, I better go, because I'm feeling really bloated. I had food in between. So I'm feeling
okay, bad. That's enough information.
All right. Cheers, then. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, Steve.
Bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.